Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. Stay ahead of all the big games in the best league in the world, the Premier League. With the latest odds, form guides, expert opinions and more, the fans are the players at Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com, 18+, begambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
This is a Game Day podcast from TalkSport. Game Day, your verdict.
Well, it was another cracking day in the Premier League and it delivered some great entertainment on game day with TalkSport. Liverpool moved 11 points clear at the top of the table as they held on to beat Brighton at Anfield, while Manchester City were only able to come away from Newcastle with a point. Jose Mourinho made it 3 wins out of 3 as Spurs boss with a 3-2 win against Bournemouth, and Southampton came from behind to beat Watford to earn their first home win since April. Here is the best of your reaction to the day's football on both the full-time phone-in with Adrian Durham and Mickey Gray and your verdict with me, Laura Woods and Darren Bent. This is the Game Day Your Verdict podcast. Right, let's get straight into it and head over to St James's Park with Nigel Adley.
And that is it! What a day in the title race, and it started with Manchester City dropping more points here at St James's Park, and Liverpool could move 11 points clear by the end of the day. Twice they led, but twice Newcastle came back. And is this the day when Manchester City finally lost their grip on the title? It is finished. Newcastle United 2, Manchester City 2.
Let's go straight to John, who's a Manchester City fan. City drew today, dropped points, and then had to wait and watch as 10-man Liverpool won 2-1. John, how are you feeling? Is it all over?
It's not all over. You can't win the league in November, but you can certainly chuck it. We're doing our best to get rid of the league, aren't we? But what I've got to say today is the 4 goals that were scored were all stunners, and there was no chance for the keeper on all of them. But we've, what's the word, profligate in front of goal. We're creating enough chances to win games, and we're just not taking them. We're trying to walk the ball onto the goal line, get down on our hands and knees and head it in. Sometimes just put your laces through it. But, yeah, it's going to be a long, arduous way back now, but we won't stop trying. So
you say they were stunning goals. They were great goals, terrific goals. De Bruyne's was probably the pick, but John Joe Shelby's was terrific as well. But he was left unmarked, and we all know he's going to have a long-range shot. So why was nobody on him? And also, it looked to me, did it not look to you like City players were kind of ducking and kind of getting out of the way of it, turning the back on it?
Well, what my take on that is, it's without being rude, you've got Mendy coming back from... No excuses. Don't make excuses. You've got Mendy coming back from a long-term injury, and it's going to take time to get up to game pace. We get that. Bit of a makeshift one in... Fernandinho, he does the dark arts well, doesn't he? And, I mean, he's been a great servant for the club. He came at the age of 28. We've had our money's worth out of him. And he still defies... he's just a good all-round footballer. But today, you know, you just worry when he goes one-on-one. And the winger... said Maximum, is it? It was just worrying when he was raiding down the flanks, because when he was coming inside, you just knew he was going to get dragged down. And he walked a tight rope for Fernandinho on a lot of occasions. But again, Otamendi, he's showing signs of date of birth disease in today. I mean, against pace, they're going to struggle. We're missing Laporte big time, but can't complain, because we spent enough money, we've got a big enough squad, and we've got lads coming through the ranks now.
John, thanks for the call. It's an interesting one, because you can't really say it's all over in November, although it'll take a monumental collapse from Liverpool. And Mickey Gray has been at Anfield. We'll talk to Mickey very shortly about the Liverpool performance today, because again, it wasn't a perfect performance from Liverpool, and yet again they have picked up the 3 points. But John, talking about the City squad there, and I'd love to hear from more City fans, this City squad, I know it's back-to-back titles and nobody's complaining about that, and maybe they'll go further in the Champions League this year, who knows, but this City squad, shorn of a leader like Delph, a leader like Kompany, shorn of Laporte because of one injury, now Aguero's out as well, was this squad ready to retain that title for yet another season? I'm not sure it was.
Also, another one that you didn't mention, Adrian, who people are not talking about, is Sane. You know, because last season and the season before, Pep Guardiola was able to rotate his forward line pretty much every single week. You know, whoever was playing, you knew that quality was going to be in the starting 11. But Sane is a huge miss. I keep going back to Vincent Kompany, letting him go in the summer. He played 11 games last season, but they've let him go in the summer. And it's not just the leadership on the football field. It's in the dressing room. It's around the place. And what he's achieved at that football club, everybody respects him at that club. He didn't get replaced. And then what happens is your best centre-half in Laporte gets a huge injury. And then they're stuck with playing Fernandinho centre-half. I'm not saying he's a bad centre-half, but he isn't a centre-half. John Stones, who, seriously, I don't know what's happened to him. I mean, I watched the game up until the last 2 or 3 minutes. And there's a mistake in him. Every 5 or 10 minutes, he looks a bag of nerves. He's not the player that went to Manchester City. And they've got problems. There's teams now are not playing against Man City with that fear factor of thinking, well, we've got to sit back. They're actually taking the game to them. Newcastle, I don't know if you remember the game last season, Adrian, when Newcastle played against them. I don't even think they got out of their own half for about 60 minutes. But they found a way of getting themselves back into the game twice today, not once, twice. Got themselves back into the game, and I think that's where the vulnerability is with Man City this season, and they don't look like champions this time around.
Pep, how frustrating is it to take the lead and then concede it so quickly?
Well, we scored. Kevin scored an outstanding goal, and after we were not able to avoid the fault, the free kick that we could avoid it, and after Shelby make the difference, and I think we played attacking with a system like them. 5-4-1 is the way we play more fluently. We create more chances, and we concede two shots on target, two goals, and we create enough. Considering how difficult it is when 10 players they defending in the 18-yard box, but at the end, you know, we dropped 2 points.
People always ask you, you know, can you catch those at the top? But do you still believe you can?
But I said yesterday when we were 9 points or in that position, we talk about it's not the mindset to think about the catch them, instead to win the next one. So we know the situation that we have. We have to, you know, to score, to win games, and today we were so close.
And it's such a very busy December you've got coming up. Is it good to have so many games thick and fast to try and maybe regain some momentum?
It's what it is. So if I don't like so many games, we have to accept it. So it's many games to play, and that's what we have to do.
Andrew is a Manchester City fan. Welcome to the show, Andrew. What would you like to say?
Hi, guys. It was just bizarre. It really was. Because we were consummately the better side for the most part, but we kept playing in front of their defence, which is a major issue. Pep picked the wrong side. He should have started with the side that finished the game, not the one that started it. But the main reason why we only drew was the defensive mistakes. John Stones, drawn out of central defence towards the touchline, lets the guy get the ball past him, should have taken him down and taken a yellow card. He's still ambling back into the penalty area as the ball's hitting the back of the net. That's absolutely inexcusable.
Are you talking about he should have made a cynical foul? A tactical foul, sorry.
Mm. Yeah, absolutely he should. And then Mendy, later on, when we're 2-1 up, and we're looking at possibly getting a breakaway to make it 3-1. He's been headed the ball by De Bruyne in a quite a tight situation. He's basically given it straight to the Newcastle player on the halfway line. So everybody's going on about, well, Jonjo Shelvey wasn't closed down and Fernandinho gave away the free kick. But the whole problem was caused by Benjamin Mendy on the halfway line about 10 seconds earlier. It was a disgraceful piece of defending. And he had a poor game throughout, to be quite honest. He was shockingly bad. He had a terrible match. And those two incidents are what cost us the match. Now, we missed a few chances, but if you look at all of the games where we've drawn or lost this season, they're when Pep has mucked around with the side a little bit and he's picked the wrong choice. And one of the issues he's got is that he still thinks he's in Spain or Germany, where if you're playing the bottom six sides, you can afford to rest three or four players and get away with it. And you can't do it in the Premier League. Even his defensive midfielder Rodri said the other day, any side can beat any other side in the Premier League. And it's true. It's a much, much more competitive league than the European leagues that Pep's managed in so far in his career, which are Germany and Spain. Mm. And he has got to put his top sides out in these games if he wants to win the matches. Is the Premier League over? A lot of people say it is. I don't think it is, and I don't believe it will be until it's mathematically impossible for any other side to catch Liverpool.
Yeah, all
because
right,
you don't know what's going to happen in the next round of games or any other matches for the rest of the season.
Yeah.
You know, supposing Van Dijk picked up a six-month injury on Tuesday or Wednesday, whenever they're playing again, that could really disrupt their defensive problems, and all of a sudden they might start shipping more goals than the one a game they do. But that's the problem is, yes, we missed a few chances, and Sterling was very unlucky not to score at the very death, but our defence is an issue.
Yeah, Andrew, 1 second. Laura, what were you going to say?
Andrew, stay there. I think he does know not to take teams lightly because Newcastle beat him last season.
Yeah, I think he knows that as well. But also, come on, let's be honest. Like, look at Manchester City squad. Really, can they be that much weaker? Like, they've got players that will get walking to most other teams.
But what is it? I mean, Manchester City, this time last season, this is what we were saying, that their bench would walk into any team, the starting lineup of any team. But is it as strong as we think it is now?
I think it's strong.
If one player, Laporte, is out, and all of a sudden the house of cards is falling down.
But Laporte is up there, but the company's the big one as well. And I think this season, compared to last season, I think when you know that you've got, you're defensively very, very strong, you've got company, Laporte, you've got your first choice centre-back, so you are very, very strong at the back. You can afford to obviously keep possession and keep tinkering, but teams this season now who they're playing against think, well, you know what, they're not that strong, so even if we do have to sit in for 10-15 minutes and concede possession, we know at some stage we're going to get an opportunity to score a goal, and it's just whether we take that chance or not. Whereas before last season, teams were thinking, right, they're going to pass us to death and going to keep it moving and create opportunities. But even if we get down the other end, because they're defensively strong, we still might not get opportunities, so we might have to be a bit more reserved. But this season, they're thinking, well, we know defensively they're not strong at all.
They're not scared of them at all.
So they think, well, listen, we'll concede possession 10-15 minutes, that's fine. But we know at some stage they're going to make a mistake or there's going to be an opening, and it's just whether we take it. And Newcastle took them both today.
Quick one on Newcastle. To draw against Manchester City, that's massive. It's not only massive for Newcastle in terms of just the fan base at St James's, but it's also massive, I think, for Steve Bruce. Do you think he's starting to win the fan base over now?
I think he started to do that a while ago. I mean, when the season started and they struggled and a few results, people really jumped on his back, even before he even got the job, to be fair. But he is one of them. Regardless, he was born up there, born and raised up there. And look what he's doing again. People didn't give him a chance, a prayer's hope of getting anywhere this season. They thought relegation, definitely. Rafa done a miracle. He's gone now. Steve Bruce can't do anything. But look where they are now. And I know they're still 14th in the table, but that's a lot higher than people expected them to be.
Geordies, I want to hear from you. 08717 22 33 34. Wherever my dad is, can you just call up? Because I've been asking my dad to call me all day and he's been totally ignoring me. He's in the WhatsApp group as well. I'm like, Dad, just give us a buzz. I genuinely want to hear how everybody's feeling outside the world. Because that's got to feel like a win today. And for Manchester City to go ahead twice, I mean, Kevin De Bruyne's goal, by the way. Oh my God.
What a strike. But he's got that in him. But you've got to understand, sometimes when you play up there, I mean, I've been up there, I'm playing in Derby, Sunderland versus Newcastle. When them Newcastle fans get behind that team, it is such a tough place to play. And especially, it's going to sound weird, shooting downhill, because obviously it's on a bit of a slope. But when the Newcastle fans are behind that team, and it feels like you're running really uphill when you're shooting second half to the left, it's a tough, tough place to go. And I think now, with the way Steve Bruce is managing in, the way they're playing, the fans are getting really behind it. And I'm telling you, that is a tough place to go.
They're strong at home this season. I remember going there right at the beginning of the season, and the atmosphere was really sanitised. And there weren't as many it was the protest. It was people saying, look, we're not going to go to St James's Park. We're not happy with Mike Ashley and the way that the club is being run. So I'm interested to know what the atmosphere was like today.
I just think some of their main players are not even firing on all cylinders yet. Obviously, Joe Linton's not really firing.
Yeah.
St Maximum's not got a goal yet, but he's playing well enough. Almiron. So once these guys as well really start to show what they're about, I mean, they're doing everything else but score. Once that starts to start firing, then listen, they're going to shoot up the league.
You said it earlier on as well. It's all about confidence when you're a striker, isn't it?
It's all about confidence, but it's also about getting the chances. I mean, you could be the most confident person in the world, but if you're getting no service, you're never going to score.
Okay, right. Why don't we hear from Steve Bruce? He spoke to TalkSport's Nigel Adley after the game today at St James's Park.
To come back twice like that says a lot about the character of your team.
Do
Do you know something? They've got a good attitude amongst them. You know, we've got that horrible one in us where we can, you know, be a bit inconsistent at times. But on the main, especially here, you know, against Bournemouth a couple of weeks ago, we were up against it. We're one down, but they've come back and they've had a go again. And today, they were manful in their work. You had to run a million miles against a Man City team who moved the ball so quickly from side to side and back to front. They're a quality team, and to get something from them, I was absolutely delighted with their attitude.
And people talk about your forward players and a lack of goals, but Almiron today was outstanding for you.
Almiron was outstanding, and in St Maxim, you know, the way we play is difficult for them because, you know, they're 50, 60 yards away from goal when they pick it up. So, but the team is suited, I believe, to be set up the way we are. And there'll come a day when, you know, we're higher up the pitch. But at the moment, they're doing OK.
Just finally for me, 7 points from the big six so far this season.
I may as well call it a day, hadn't I? It's never happened in 20 years, by the way. So, no, all serious. Yeah, I mean, we've produced some good performances. And, you know, Chelsea, you know, just got one part. Arsenal, I believe, didn't deserve to beat us. So that's not the problem when we play the big ones. The problem is there's a team in and around us. We have to show that same attitude and commitment, which we've done today, and then we'll be OK.
7 points from the big six for Newcastle this season, a fact that has not gone far beyond Bruce's conscious, I don't know what you're going to call it, thoughts. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but he's totally right in what he's saying, because when you play them big boys and you're expected to lose, you can have a free hit. Like, if you get beat, people go, well, yeah, he was expected to lose that. So they're not the results that's going to define them. He's alluding to there is when they play teams like Norwich, Southampton, the teams that are down there in and around them, that's when they struggle a little bit, and that's where they need to find a way of getting results and beating these teams.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. There's a lot more to those 90 minutes than what goes down on the pitch. With the latest odds, form guides and expert opinions, you'll know the score with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. BeGambleAware.org. T's and C's apply.
Game day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
Dave Martin, 33 years old, making his West Ham United debut today. Kept a clean sheet as West Ham got a much-needed win here at Stamford Bridge. Watching him was his dad, Alvin Martin, who is a TalkSport favourite and a West Ham legend as well. What a moment. There were tears for Dave Martin at the end. He came up to alongside us to give Alvin Martin, his dad, a big, big hug. And after the game, Dave spoke with the Moose.
Dave, first of all, just sum up the day.
A bit surreal, really. I said I can't. You know, obviously get my head around. I think I'll probably wake up tomorrow morning and open that one eye and I'll be like, that really just happened yesterday. So, yeah, I'll enjoy tonight, definitely.
Dapper sat next to me, and you know that. Yeah. He was a bag of nerves all afternoon. In fact, the first thing he said to me is he now knows how your grandma felt when he was playing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he was nervous. Like I said, I've probably never been that nervous going into a game. But as soon as that whistle goes, you know, you just go into autopilot. But see, I looked up at Dad and he looks a lot whiter than usual, I've got to say.
Clean sheet as well. I mean, there's the fans singing your name at the end. What happened when he went down after the final whistle? You looked like you were crying.
Yeah, a bit embarrassing, obviously for me and my family, this is a massive deal. But on a personal note, and to come in, you know, obviously not playing for so long, you know, at the end of last season, and you know, to come and do what I did, kept a clean sheet, and I've got to thank the lads because they were unbelievable in front of me.
And last one, when he came up and hugged Dad afterwards, yeah. I mean, that was a tear-jerking moment for all of us. Adrian Durham was in tears. I was trying to take a picture and I had a tear in my eye.
It's obviously I think we went to have a conversation, but I think we just both broke down almost, and then I think I got you. I'm proud of you, and that was it really. So I enjoyed that moment with my dad, and I said I'll take that with me.
God, I'm going again.
Unbelievable. What's happened to you, Durham?
Well, I defy you. If you've been here and witnessed everything today and that moment at the end when he's hugging his dad, I mean, it's right next to us. It's happening. Yeah. It's, you know, I was on air and I did. I mean, you heard it. I was wobbling all over the place. I was gone. It's the first time I've completely lost it.
It's a special moment, yeah. That, though, Adrian, isn't it? I mean, you can imagine being a proud father and your son's obviously playing for a club where you are an absolute legend. And when he must have, you know, crossed that white line to play his first game for West Ham and win the game against a side like Chelsea, who've been absolutely flying, that's a special occasion. And then I can imagine how you must have been, because that'd have been exactly this. It's like a, you know, when you sports day, when your kids are doing sports day and your kid is in the race or something and you win that, you know, that's a proud moment. But that is something else. You know, it's your father's already been there. He's done it. He's seen it all. So he knows what it means to him. And for your son to do that, I mean, that's very special.
Yeah. And listen, from our point of view, you know, Alvin's a TalkSport legend. And it was more, my emotions were about him more than anything else. But and Dave said there in the interview that it was a bit embarrassing. It isn't, mate. I mean, I think it'd be embarrassing if you didn't shed a tear at that moment. It was truly incredible. We'll speak to the Moose in a moment. Let's bring in Lewis, who's a West Ham fan, first of all. How you doing, Lewis?
Hi, Lewis.
Yeah, not bad, Adrian. How you doing, all right?
Yeah, all right. I mean, listen, I was crying. Were you? Are you crying? I mean, everybody was crying, weren't they?
I think all West Ham fans are crying just because of the result, to be honest, mate. it was desperately needed. I couldn't see from where I was in going in the press box at the end, but that's a great story. The game itself, I mean, I was one of the guys asking for Pellegrini to go at the start of the week. I've never done that before. The main reason was because he just kept doing the same thing over and over again. You know, we've had managers in the past who have been threatened with relegation, have actually gone down. But I've never asked them to go because you see them trying something different, maybe a 4-4-2, a 3-5-2, but Pellegrini just kept doing the same thing over and over again. Today, he's changed it up a little bit with the formation, put players in different positions, and he's paid dividends. And fair play to him, you know, and great for David Martin as well. What a story.
It's an incredible story, isn't it? And I think when we talk about the game, Mikel Antonio, it makes such a difference to this side, Lewis, doesn't he? It's his energy. We called it dynamism on the show today as we were watching the game. He seems to be everywhere on the pitch. He's an incredible athlete and a really good footballer. He kind of lifted the side today, Lewis.
Yeah, he does. I mean, he's got so much pace and power, and it's something that the side in general is really missing. We do lack pace. And since he's come back, you know, the half he played against Spurs, he made such a difference. You know, he's powerful and he just doesn't give up. And he's got that kind of British bulldog spirit. And I think we need someone like that in the side. We really do. You know, we've got Mark Noble, who's a great leader for us. But I think we need someone else to really go at players, you know, and really sort of like try and make a difference and not be afraid to kind of get on the ball and make something happen.
Lewis, I was just going to ask you as well. I mean, obviously it was, and Adrian, you're at the ground, so you know exactly how well he played. But you talked about Anderson, Adrian, when us were on air, and when he came off the football field having a little bit of a go at Pellegrini. Was that something that he'll get the same media coverage as maybe the Xhaka incident?
Well, I think that it's slightly different because obviously they've won the game. And so I think it will be kind of bypassed. But it was a proper row between Pellegrini and Anderson, Felipe Anderson. He then started pointing fingers, Anderson. He was having a go at the assistant as well. Listen, he's got one goal in 30 appearances. Yeah. And Lewis, let me bring you in here, because Felipe Anderson, he has been terrific. He's capable of being brilliant, but one goal in 30, and then he's having a row about being brought off. I mean, he's not the player he was. So what's happened?
It's a bit of a mystery, really. I mean, I didn't see the incident when he came off. A friend of mine who's listening to your commentary, he's texted me and said that basically there's a bit of a fracas on the bench, which is not great to see. He was great last season, you know, he really was. But I think the last goal he scored was in the Southampton away. And since then, he was being asked to track back quite a bit more, do some more defensive, have more distinctive responsibilities. And since then, he's kind of lost a lot of impetus going forward. And I don't know if it's out of frustration that he can't do what he wants to do, or, you know, he's just lacking confidence. Because I think the last four or five games, he's come up at half-time and something's clearly not right. I just think he maybe needs an arm around the shoulder. I don't think he's one of those kind of players who kind of responds to kind of like having a proverbial kick up the backside. You know, not that I think Pellegrini's that type of manager, but there's something not quite right mentally with him at the moment.
It's a big win. Lewis, thanks for the call. Let's bring in the Moose, who obviously is a celebrity West Ham fan. He's been here today watching this. It's hard to stress just how massive and unexpected this win was for West Ham today.
100%. I didn't come here expecting anything other than West Ham to be beaten. Chelsea have scored every time they played in the Premier League this season here. In fact, they haven't not scored in the Premier League since the opening day at Manchester United. And I just didn't think West Ham had it in them. But this is I spoke to Darren Cresswell afterwards. He said, typical West Ham. And it is, you know. They'll beat Man United at home, which they did this season. They'll beat Chelsea away, which they've now done for the first time in 17 years. And yet they'll lose and lose badly sometimes when you just don't expect them to. And that's what being a West Ham fan is all about, though.
Moose, can I ask you a question? Cresswell scored the goal today for West Ham, didn't he?
Yes.
Was it right foot or left foot?
Right foot.
And when I said to him afterwards about that, he admitted that it's unusual to see him score.
Oh, really?
If the producer can just get the Aaron Cresswell interview, that first question up, you'll hear, Mickey, that actually I was right in what I said earlier.
Make your point, Mickey, as a left-footed left-back, what have you got to say?
Well,
about
I'm talking right. to a turkey, aren't I? That's
your right foot's just for standing on. Go on,
Nate, don't you worry about it. I scored against Man United with my right foot, past Peter Schmeichel, so there you go, mate.
They're not just
for standing on.
Was that a dream?
No, I was trying to clear my lines.
But it's a huge win. I've just been in the press conferences and listening to Frank Lampard. He said he didn't make the wrong changes. He kind of hinted, without saying as much, that it was mainly down to Tammy Abraham being out that they really couldn't cope with that. But he brought Giroud in to start, and I can't help thinking that was a little bit of a mistake on his part, because Batshuayi would have been desperate. He's done okay coming on as sub, and I thought he would have been desperate to make a difference. Giroud came off in the end, and I barely knew he was on the pitch by the time he came off.
Yeah, it wasn't his greatest afternoon, really, was it? I mean, I don't think he really had a shot in anger, Dave Martin. Listen, today actually is all about the 33-year-old who made his Premier League debut and then comes up and gives his dad a hug, and everyone's in tears, really. But if you do strip it all back, it's a bad day for Chelsea, but they haven't had many this season. And they'll have a few. You know, this is a young squad. I mean, I spoke to Christian Pulisic afterwards, said it wasn't anything down to tiredness because they played in the Champions League in midweek. So sometimes teams just play badly and they don't do well. I mean,
it was down to tiredness. I mean, there's no doubt about that. He looked off the pace. He's decided to make changes because of the midweek game with Kante left out and Willian left on the bench as well. So I'm not buying into that. It's a tough schedule. And whilst we were talking about the squad that Chelsea have got and how it's not maybe as bad as people thought, it's still going to be stretched when you're playing Champions League in midweek away and Premier League
Absolutely, and they've got some big games coming up. I mean, Lille here in a couple of weeks' time is arguably bigger.
Arguably?
Yeah, that's the word.
Okay.
It's bigger, isn't it, than Villa here on Wednesday?
Arguably.
Yeah, whatever. I just think that Chelsea are going to have inconsistent spells. But in general, if you ask any Chelsea fan, I think it's been absolutely incredible the run they've had to this point.
Alvin, I just called you Alvin there. It's because you're sitting in Alvin's seat. Don't go and dry your eyes.
Yeah. Can I just say, in the beginning, Alvin said to me that he knew now how his mum felt when he started playing for West Ham. She couldn't come watch. She was just too nervous. He was a real bag of nerves today, and he left very quickly. I'm sure he was still had tears in his eyes when he left the ground.
Well, when the second goal went in, the one that was eventually ruled out, and we all thought it was 2-0, I looked across at Alvin, and there was no emotion on his face whatsoever. I think he was even more nervous because he might have been thinking, oh God, what if Chelsea now win 3-2? You know, but eventually it was ruled out, and they held on. And what a great, great day for Dave Martin and for Alvin Martin. And having known Alvin for well over 20 years, he's one of the loveliest guys around. Make no mistake about that. I consider him a true friend and a trusted colleague, and it couldn't happen to a nicer guy. So congratulations to the Martin household, who I'm sure will know how to celebrate what has happened today.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
And the referee blows for full time, and Southampton finally remember what it's like to win at home. Their first Premier League home win of the season, and it's against the side one place below them at the bottom of the table in Watford, and they had to come from behind to do it. their first win in 9 Premier League games since the win at Sheffield United in September. Ismaila Sarr had given Watford the lead midway through the first half, and they held on to that lead, Watford, until about 12 minutes from time, when Gineppo's great skill inside the box set up Danny Ings for an equaliser, and then a free kick dispatched with total authority by James Ward-Prowse with 7 minutes of normal time to go. Ben Foster got both hands to it but couldn't keep it out, and despite a desperately close effort from Andre Gray deep in stoppage time, Southampton cling on to get 3 points, and St Mary's is suddenly a much happier place to be than it was at half time. Full time here at St Mary's on game day. Southampton 2, Watford 1.
We're going to go to Mike. He's a Watford fan. Mike, welcome to the show. You're kicking it off for us. I imagine you're not really pleased with that performance.
I think that's a bit of an understatement, Laura. it's absolute disaster. Disaster.
Oh, mate. What's going on then? What's going wrong?
Well, one of our guys was saying the other day, we've had 5 Premier League wins this calendar year.
Wow.
It was almost our... Ever since that Wolves semi-final, we've just gone backwards.
Yeah.
It's crap defending. It's, you know...
Can't score a goal.
To be fair, I think we scored 9 in the league, so...
Yeah, that's a fantastic effort,
isn't it?
Do you know what I think? I just think the composure in the final third, and surely, I know everyone's keeps saying about obviously Troy Deeney is the big miss, but surely he can't be that big of a miss. Like he wouldn't propel you all of a sudden straight up the league to top 6, could he?
Yes.
Everyone keeps talking about Deeney, and I get he's your leader, but there's got to be a deeper problem to what's going on down there at Watford.
Yeah, I agree, Darren. I mean, but the thing is, Deeney's in the club, isn't he? He's around the place. He's a big personality, and. You know, it might not be on the pitch at the time, but he's on the side, and I don't know. It's bizarre how the wheels have just gone off it. And I think after today's result, you know, I think most Watford fans are saying, "Crikey, it's depression time now."
Mike, what did you think?
Good job we got beer, isn't it?
Let's go get another cheery call in. He's a Watford fan. Hi, Ian.
Yeah, hi team.
Hi.
Where do you want me to start?
Where do you fancy starting?
Well, I'd like to say congratulations to Brentford for putting 7 past Luton.
Massive.
That's our highlight of the day. Watford are abysmal, absolutely abysmal. From the top to the bottom, every player, bar one, possibly two today, showed no passion, little skill, and the heads just dropped as soon as Southampton got the first goal back. And it's been like that really since the turn of the year. The FA Cup final, 6-0 City, that was a different game. And the FA Cup results shadowed or masked what's been going on at the club this calendar year. We have been dreadful.
What do you think the problem is, though? Do you think it's the match? Would you have not brought the same manager back? Is it the players? Or what is the
actual... No. Let's start with the manager. No. I'd have kept Garcia because he wouldn't have done any different to what Flores has done. But it's not the management. They don't score goals. They don't concede goals. It's the quality and the ability, the aptitude and attitude of the players. I would take them all out and leave them all out because they're not worthy of wearing the shirt.
All
they
right.
show nothing. Nothing. Even Deeney, I wouldn't have him back on the pitch because he could have had that treatment during the summer, but no. He elected to wait until the season began, and then he said, "Oh, I'm injured." He's been out for like 3 months.
Patrick is a Watford fan. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm pretty disappointed after that result. I think we've well and truly bottled it with 15 minutes to go, or 20 minutes ago, whatever it was. I think Kike needs to go.
I mean, when he came in, what were your thoughts?
I was not happy whatsoever. I mean, we sacked him for a reason. And to go, it feels like a step backwards to re-sign him in. I think the board need to realise they made a mistake to begin with. We need to get rid of him, bring someone new in and get on with it. I think if we just bring him along now, he's going to go in February, he's going to go in February, March, January, and then we're going to only have 15 games, 10 games to go, and it's just going to be too late at that point. I think he needs to go now so that the new manager can come in, have some time to make some changes, so have to have the window in January, and then we can push forward.
Is it all down to Kike and the way that he's running this team, or is it, I mean, are you slightly sympathetic to the fact that you're struggling with injuries at the moment as well?
I mean, we're struggling with injuries, but not to the extent we have done in the past. I think I think we went 1-0 up today, and the second we went 1-0 up, it was defend, 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 hold the result. And it was the same thing he did when he was 2 years ago, where, however many years ago it was. It was go 1-0 up, defend, 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 hang on. And it didn't work. We couldn't defend. Our first goal was a complete... awful.
Mm. Patrick, stay there for a second because I want to ask Darren about this as well. The next fixtures coming up for Watford are Leicester away, Crystal Palace at home, Liverpool away, Manchester United at home. I mean, that's not a run that you're going to bring in a new manager for, is it?
It's a difficult one because I genuinely thought Watford had turned the corner when they got the point against Sheffield United. They played well, 0-0. Then they got the point against Spurs where they were arguably the better team for long spells, didn't get the 3 points, and then the 0-0 with Bournemouth. But again, since then, they've kind of regressed again. I mean, I know they got the win against Watford, but other than that, I mean, and with this run coming up, we'd expect them to get beat next week against Leicester because Leicester are higher flying depending on what happens tomorrow. The Crystal Palace one's going to be an interesting one because you never quite know what you're going to get from Crystal Palace, indifferent. But you're right, because I just don't think Watford could keep going along those sacking managers, because you're never going to get any kind of consistency, because a new manager's going to come in with new ideas and they've got to change the whole philosophy again. So they might have to just maybe write this season off regardless if they get relegated,
yeah,
but just stick with the manager and then go again fresh for the start of next season.
Can you see a way out of it, Patrick, or do you feel like you're sort of condemned to the Championship?
No, I'm still 50-50 whether we'll go down or not. I do think we can turn it around. We do have the quality in our squad, and we have the depth in our squad as well. People don't realise we have good depth compared to the teams around us towards the bottom half of the, you know, bottom of the league. Mm-hmm. We've got the depth that other people don't have. So when it does come into January, February, I do think we're going to be all right. But and we have the ability to turn it around. It's just whether we will. I mean, if we keep bottling results with 20 minutes to go, then no.
I think they have got the depth, but we've seen better teams than Watford go down, and I think that's the worrying thing, is that they have got the depth. They've got some players. We spoke about Kapuwe, Decore, Delafeu. They've got players. Troy Deeney when he's fit. They've got players that are decent. Will Hughes. But I just think today they've got out four pretty much, because the first half they were the better team, battered Southampton, really had more chances, but second half Southampton rolled their sleeves up and had a real good go, and that's why they got the result today. So I think Watford maybe need to stop worrying about playing well and looking pretty. They need to roll up their sleeves and have a really good fight and try and work hard and grind out results.
All right, Patrick, good luck for the rest of the season. Thank you very much for your call. Let's go to David. He's a Southampton fan. David, were you at the game today? Where did you watch it?
No, I watched it at home with my best mate, who's also a Saints fan. It wasn't a good watch, was it, for the neutral? Felt sorry for the neutrals, to be fair.
Well, we're both neutrals, me and Darren, and we were watching it, and we have to agree with you.
Horrendous, horrendous. Felt sorry for the neutrals, but trying to measure our expectations, you know, we know what we are down at St Mary's. We're a club that has got, you know, not great ambition. It doesn't appear that we have. If we go up the table, we have our players nicked by other teams. We've got to just be happy with Premier League football. I'm pleased for the manager. He seems a good guy. We showed some heart. I think we were lacking in confidence and a bit of quality. But having said that, we've got 4 points from our last two games. I think we need to back the manager. And I'm just delighted that if our form continues at this level, that nobody will come in for any more of our players.
Do you think that that's part of the problem, that, you know, you've been this feeder club for such a long time, you've brought these amazing players through, but you're not really filling up anymore? The recruitment at the lower level now isn't quite what it used to be.
Yeah, I think our youth system has always been the shining light of our football club. I think people higher up the football food chain have realised that. I think we've suffered as a consequence. But any Saints fan will tell you, if you offered us 12th or 8th or 10th at the beginning of the season, we'd snap your hand off. Mm. And any Saints fan or anybody else that thinks we're ever going to be performing at a top 3 or 4 or 6 level again, I think it's a bit deluded, Laura, to be honest.
What do you think about that, Darren?
Maybe for now, yeah. They're a long way. But yeah, maybe the production line's maybe not what it once was. But as I said, I've still got players in their squad that can make a difference. And as I said, what I liked about today is that Ralph, he wasn't scared of making the changes. Obviously, he took off Nathan Redmond, which I'm sure a lot of people were like, well, what's he doing there? Mm. But he obviously brought someone on who made a real impact and a real difference. And I think when you've got quality in your squad like Redmond and Danny Ings and obviously Ward-Prowse, these type guys, I think you've always got a fighting chance like they showed today.
It's an interesting one with Southampton, isn't it, really? Because you're not really ever sure. I mean, I think it's maybe Ralph Hasenhüttl that I quite like him as a manager, and I think I've got quite a lot of faith in him. So even though they're in the position that they're in at the moment, that game against Arsenal, Darren's an Arsenal fan, he'll tell you that, David, for free. That game against Arsenal, I think Saints probably deserved a little bit more out of that. Do you think so, Darren?
I do, yeah.
You're watching old school Arsenal on the screen. Yeah, at the moment, they Darren's watching Arsenal Spurs from, I think, 2010 by the looks of it. Gareth Bale just scored. It's 2-1 at the moment.
No, they play against...
It's another one of our players.
Yeah. Yeah, listen, against Arsenal, they played really, really well. I mean, obviously poor finishing at the end cost Southampton, and not only that as well, they had opportunities where they could have just slid it across the box and let people tap it in, and they should have won that game comfortably against Arsenal. But these are the things, when you're down the bottom, these things go against you. But you, what you wanted in that situation is them chances to fall to Danny Ings, because if they'd have fallen to Danny Ings, he would have put them away. But when you're down there and you're fighting for points and goals, they all seem to, the chances all seem to fall to the wrong person.
Can I just run this run a form, sorry, your fixtures coming up, David, that you've got. You've got Norwich at home, then you've got Newcastle away, then you've got West Ham at home, and then Villa away. What do you think of those four games? Are those games that you think you can get a result from?
You know, if you took probably 6 points from those games, maybe seven. I mean, we're all looking for just above points over games. The other thing is, I think we've really struggled after the 9-0 hammering we took. I think it takes, if anybody that's played anything competitively would tell you, that that really does affect you quite deeply. And I think we're just beginning to get over that. Hopefully Ralph will get them together and hopefully confidence will build. But one thing's for sure, sacking Ralph wouldn't be the way forward, not in my book.
Game day, your verdict on Talk Sport.
As the final whistle does go, and Spurs have won, and it's three wins from three under Jose Mourinho. What a difference a week makes in football. Spurs pick up back-to-back wins in the Premier League for the first time this season. But my, oh my, it was nervy inside those last few seconds. The emotions around the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, more of relief than jubilation. But in the cold light of day, Spurs have done enough. They've won here by 3-2. Ali with two wonderfully taken goals. And then Moussa Sissoko put them well clear of a Bournemouth side who struggled to get into the game, particularly in the second period. Two late goals from Harry Wilson made things very interesting indeed. And then in the final few seconds of normal time, Callum Wilson, clear on goal, couldn't get his shot away. And Spurs, you feel, have got away with one there, ever so slightly. But it is a perfect start for Jose Mourinho. Live on TalkSport 2, it has finished. Spurs 3, Bournemouth 2.
Jose, thanks for talking to us. 10 goals now in 3 games since you've arrived. You must be delighted with the start.
6 conceded. No, I'm very happy with the results. I'm very happy with long periods during the matches with fantastic football and also great individual performances. Of course, I don't like my teams to concede as many goals as we did, but no problem. We are here to help the team to improve.
Very close, almost actually, to being a draw in the end of the game. You must have been quite worried towards the end.
Yeah, but very close to be 5-0, and I prefer to say very close to be 5-0 was the consequence of the dynamics of the second half, where in the second half we dominate, we control absolutely. So the reality of the game is that was much closer to 5-0 than to a draw. But you are right, in the last seconds of the game, that situation was there.
You said in the week that Dele Alli won't be man of the match every game that you play, but so far he's doing pretty well.
Amazing. Top, absolutely top. I don't need to speak because everybody speaks about him in this moment, and I prefer that way.
And a word also for Moussa Sissoko, a brilliant finish at the back post.
Oh, fantastic finish. The situation was amazing. The cross by Sonny was half of a goal, and then Moussa makes an incredible run to arrive in this position, and then the finishing is even better.
Just a couple more. You said you were very happy in the week, very happy with what the club's given you in terms of the squad, and that's showing so far from the first three games.
Yes, absolutely. I made a few changes. I had on the bench players like Winks, Celso, Lucas, Eriksen. No problem at all. No problem.
And just lastly, obviously Manchester United away in the week. Are you looking forward to that fixture going back there?
Not yet. They still have to play a game tomorrow. We work tomorrow, but I'm still disconnected from that game at Old Trafford. But of course, I will reconnect Monday, and it's always an amazing match to play.
There you go, Jose Mourinho with Jake Robson, who joins us live from the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. I mean, just how, very quickly, Jake, how tight was that at the end, that Bournemouth chance?
Well, you know how long a stud is, and that is basically the length and the difference between Tottenham actually conceding or giving away a penalty at the end. And it was all courtesy of Jan Vertonghen. It's absolutely outstretched. Me and Ray Parler were sitting there. We couldn't believe that actually it wasn't a penalty. But on the replay, he clearly got the ball. And Jose Mourinho's heart must have been in his mouth, as were the Tottenham fans sat all around us. And a remarkable result in the end, if you think about what happened to Tottenham last week. 3-0 up and cruising. Exactly the same here. They've almost come out of it with a draw.
But in the end, they do get the win. And I was intrigued by Mourinho's answer, actually, when you said, well, you know, it was nearly 3-3 at the end. He said, yeah, it could have been 5-0. I mean, he's looking on the positive. And actually, that tells you a little bit of a story. And I know it's still early days at Tottenham, but it's 3 wins out of 3. And maybe this is a slightly changed Mourinho from the one that was at Manchester United. Maybe he is generally more optimistic, more positive, more glass half full than glass half empty.
Yeah, and I think certainly he's not the same that he was towards the end of his time at Manchester United. But, I mean, you know, the first question I asked him, I said 10 goals, and he said, yeah, but 6 conceded. So he's also being realistic. I suppose it's, you know, the truth with these things is always somewhere in the middle. Tottenham absolutely strolled it for the first hour or so. And he's right, Dele Alli had a chance. He could have had a hat-trick. There were a couple of other chances early on as well. And they really did cruise it, I think. I think a slight worrying thing is the way that they conceded twice early in midweek. You can't get away from that. They have won 3, but, you know, football can change very quickly. Tottenham already, you know, they're up to 5th already. Now, who would have thought that 3 weeks ago? So they're up to 5th already, but things can turn very quickly. Suddenly, some of the breaks that they might have got today, maybe Dele doesn't produce that absolute bit of magic. And very quickly, those goals that they're conceding can start turning into draws and defeats. So you have to take it, I think, with a little bit of a pinch of salt at the moment. Even the most realistic of Tottenham fans would say that. But you can't deny the fact that they've scored 10 goals and they've won their first 3 matches. And, you know, they go to Manchester United during the week, as he said. He's not thinking about it yet at all. I don't think anyone believes that. But a massive game for them. And if they win that, then, you know, it really is, you know, Jose time at Tottenham as far as the fans are concerned and as far as he and the players are concerned.
Jake, thanks very much. Jake Robson, who was at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium for us today. Let's bring in a Spurs fan. Peter is with us on TalkSport 2. How are you doing, Peter?
I'm very good, thank you. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad. Have you got yourself a Jose scarf yet?
I'm working on it. I've got it's on my list for Santa.
So what, I mean, is everything completely changed, or is it all being taken a little bit calmly because it's early days? And there's been a couple of hairy moments in there. It was 3-2 last week at West Ham. You were 2-0 down midweek and won the game. 3-2 today with a chance at the end. So what's the general feeling?
I think it's a little bit Jekyll and Hyde at the moment. Obviously, the attacking style of play has changed to the fact that we are scoring goals now. But there is the fact that we are conceding goals in the second half as well and losing concentration, but I think that's more of a confidence thing at the moment, and hopefully he can work on that, and with a bit more time we can keep a few more clean sheets.
And in terms of Jose, what do you think he's done to Dele Alli? What has happened there? Because from the outside, and you watch games, mate, you watch games, Peter, has he completely transformed into a different player?
I think he's almost gone back to like when Dele Alli first came, he was better centrally than he was on the right or the left. And Mourinho's come in and he's kind of said, no, I want you in the middle, play there, that's where you're better. And he seems to know where to get the best out of him, and that's doing all right for us. So fair play to him for that.
It is a fascinating one. Peter, thanks for the call. Let's have more of your calls, please. 08717223344. Just very quickly, been asked on Twitter to talk about Dave Martin. Listen, do you want me in tears again? I mean, come on. We will have an interview with Dave Martin before the end of the show here on TalkSport 2. But listen, you can't knock, Mickey Gray, what Jose Mourinho has done so far at Spurs.
He's got his swagger back, Adrian. I think you can even tell that when you see him in front of camera. You never really seen him with a smile on his face at Manchester United, because I think he looked at the squad of players that he had and he was never happy with it. I do believe he's probably 80% happy with the squad that he's got at Tottenham. But let's not forget, you know, he's got problems coming up. What players want to stay at the club? You know, is it Danny Rose, Eriksen, Alderweireld? So I think he knows he's still got problems and things to sort out. But, you know, never doubt his home record. At every club that he's been at, he hates losing home games. Well, he just hates losing in general. But he's winning football matches. They're scoring goals. Yes, they're conceding goals in the two league games. Very late goals as well. So that's something that he's obviously got to work on. But, you know, he's only been in the club, what, a week and a half, something like that. And he's starting to get results. It took them 10 months to get an away win. He's got that done now. He's got his first home win under his belt. He'd be very, very happy. And I just had a little quick look at the league table before. They're 6 points behind Chelsea now. Unbelievable. I mean, you can't write them off from the top four now, Adrian, can you? With him in charge, that was probably one of the aims when he took over, was to get them in that top four come the end of the season. And I don't know if one of the things this season was to try and win some silverware. If he doesn't, but he gets them back into Champions League football, then I suppose it's, you know, it's been a very good appointment. But only time's going to tell over the next couple of months.
Well, I mean, listen, you maybe getting a little bit ahead of yourself, but you're right. I think the big thing about the Premier League this season, the top four have got themselves a little bit of a breakaway. Mm-hmm. And then there appears to be a whole bunch of clubs, maybe even 10 clubs, who are all within 3 or 4 points of each other. So you can't really read too much into the fact that, say, Burnley are 8th right now, or that Man United are 11th, because a couple of wins either way and all of a sudden you're in the top half and you're flying, or the bottom half and you're in trouble. Everton, for example, are on 14 points. That's just four. They're 8th, they're 17th, 4 points behind Sheffield United in 7th. But what Tottenham have done, they've got to the top of that pack. They're a point clear of 6th now. They're in 5th place.
Yeah.
And you wouldn't, with Jose in charge, and with the Chelsea result today as well, and even with Man City dropping points, you wouldn't rule Tottenham out of retaining that top four. And I think that's why they made the change with Pochettino, because they feared they wouldn't have Champions League football in that great stadium next season.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why, you know, I think if you remember me and Alvin, we're talking about Jose last week when we're on the show, and Alvin thought it was a bad appointment. I thought it was a great appointment because he gets results. You know, he's a born winner, and I'm not saying Pochettino wasn't, but with the form that they've been showing Tottenham in the, you know, new stadium they moved into, I think they've got to sort a few things out in January. Let's not forget that. I've just mentioned the players that we don't know whether they're going to be staying at the club or they're going to be leaving, but I'm sure Jose's been had a lot of conversations with Daniel Levy to say, look, I'll take over the club and I'm happy with the squad, but I do need fresh faces. Whether it's the players that are going to be staying, or you let them go and you let me bring in two or three fresh faces to have that little push to get themselves into the top four. But you can't write them off now. You know, we might have done a couple of weeks ago and said they had no chance of getting that top four. But after a couple of back-to-back wins, winning in the Champions League in the week as well, the players obviously a little bit more confident. You just can't write him off, and especially with that big result from Chelsea today at West Ham.
Game Day.
The biggest football league in the world.
Game Day. Your verdict on Talk Sport.
The Premier League All Access podcast is proud to be brought to you by Ladbrokes. The latest odds? We set them. Form guides? We've got them. Expert opinions? We share them. The best fans in the world deserve the best. Be match day ready before the whistle blows with Ladbrokes. Odds update on Talk Sport with Ladbrokes. Are you in? Let's go. Play at ladbrokes.com. 18 plus. Be gambleaware.org. T's and C's apply.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.